Morning, church. Happy New Year. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? We're already into another brand new year. It's good to be together on our first Sunday of this season with two services, and my oh my, you've packed the house out today. I'm so excited that you're here, but mostly I'm excited because the Lord is here with us. And so let's open our hearts today. Let's just decide right now that we're going to close out everything else and we're going to focus on Jesus. Going to make him the theme of this morning, and whatever's going on in your world, in your life, it's like I've said all through the summer, leave that baggage at the door, give it to God at the door, and then just focus on him and see what God will do in your life today. I trust that it's been a good week, and we're just going to have a great day together this morning as we worship the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you have been with us all through this season. Lord, you're just doing great mighty things in our lives. And even in the midst of all the difficulties of life, you have shown yourself mighty and great, and you're with us. And Father, we just anticipate today a great service. We open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our souls to you today, our spirits today. Lord, we ask that you would lead and guide in this service. We ask that you would have your will and your way in our lives. And that, Father, when this service closes today, that we would walk out of this place renewed, inspired, and different than when we came in. We give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm ready to worship the Lord. How about you this morning? Amen. We're going to start off with He Keeps Me Singing. There's within my heart a melody. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebbs and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. And all my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. But Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. And though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Oh, and he fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. And soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Sing Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Oh, and he fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. The chorus again, sing Jesus, 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 name I know. And he fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. This next song we're singing, I don't think you can do it sitting down. If you're able, will you stand with me as we sing, How Great Thou Art. Amen. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Sing it out this morning. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, oh, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Oh, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, oh, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you for your good singing. You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love the Lord this morning? Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, he died for us so that we could live today and tomorrow and eternally ever after. Praise God. I want to take a moment today just to welcome anyone that's with us today worshiping here at Nettles Church for the very, very first time. We are always delighted to have new friends. And whether you saw something in the Nettles Bulletin or somebody invited you, we're just glad that you're here. And one of the little things that we do, it's just kind of a little token of our love and appreciation to anyone that comes for the first time, is we have a little promise book. Looks just like this one. I have it at the information desk in the back right corner. And at the end of the service today, as you're on your way out, would you do me a huge favor and just make your way over there? I'd love to shake your hand and introduce myself to you personally and present you with this little gift and say thank you for worshiping with us today. And here's the thing. If you're looking for a home church, you probably have found it, because Nettles Island Church is a church that love is building, and the people here just love Jesus and they love one another, and you'll feel right at home. So be blessed today. Good to have those of you that are back today from the snowy and cold north and central east and maybe out west, wherever you're from. I talked to somebody that was from northern Iowa and they're back, and they said, man, right up near the Dakotas and -1 degrees. We have a lot to be thankful for today, don't we? I woke up and got in the car this morning and the temperature gauge said 45 degrees outside in Port St. Lucie. That's still a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. Couple announcements this morning. Today begins the week of prayer, and in your bulletin you received a little insert like this one. And the theme for this year that we're praying this week is about missions. Nettles Island Church, as well as all of the believers around the world, we want souls to be saved. And our missions thought, Jesus told us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, to preach his name, to lift him up, and to exalt him, and to let people know that he died for them, that they could live eternally forever in heaven. And so this week is about prayer. And you'll see on today, we're praying, and we're going to do this in the service. Pray that the church, that's not Nettles Church, we're part of that, but the church, the body of Christ, will be established in every nation and among all the peoples of the world, that the gospel will do what the gospel does, the power of the gospel go out. And so this week, would you join me and would you pray this week? Just in your prayer time, keep this little insert handy. Some of you, maybe the best handy place is to put a magnet on it and put it on your refrigerator door. Okay, maybe not. That always works for me. I'm always at the refrigerator. And so you'll see it, you'll pray, you'll believe God, and you'll trust God together. I believe God's going to move as this church unites in prayer this week, that great things will happen. We may not hear about all of it because it's around the world, but one day we'll be in heaven and God will reveal to us what the power of our prayers did this week as we pray for souls, as we pray the theme of missions. There are a couple Bible studies that are yet to be, have sign-up sheets in the back corner, that door that goes out by the elevators and the stairs. On the left-hand side is all of our sign-up sheets, and we want you to please take a look at that. Colossians study, there's a new study for the battle plan of prayer for ladies. It's a limited number, so the first that gets signed up will get you into that. And we want you to be aware of that. There's a lot of announcements on the back of the bulletin. Not going to really name all of those. Do want you to pray for the Perseys and myself and our team. We leave tomorrow for Peru. We'll be gone for a little over a week. We'll be in Peru and be ministering there to the church that is there, and out doing some outreach work and doing some missions work. So we're right in line with what's going on this week as you pray. So add us to that prayer list as well. And just a lot of good things. I'll just leave it at that. You can read the rest of these informational notes in the bulletin. But I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to continue to do that as Steve and the team lead us in praise and in worship together this morning. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing more about the great God that we serve this morning. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. And how great
our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Sing it out this morning. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God. He's the name above all names, cause you're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. Oh, and my heart will sing how great is our God. And how great is our God, and all will sing how great is our God, and all will sing how great is our God.
Amen. Let's exalt him this morning. Sing this chorus with me.
And I exalt thee. Yes, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, oh Lord.
If you're able, will you stand again so we sing together, we exalt thee this morning. Just lift your hearts to him and pray. Sing,
we exalt thee. Yes, we exalt thee. We exalt thee, yes, we exalt thee, yes, we exalt thee, we exalt. Yes, you are worthy.
chorus of How Great Thou Art again.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's raise that key this morning.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Worthy of our praise this morning. As Pastor Rob comes up to pray, I want to just you to sing that chorus a cappella. I love to hear you guys sing a cappella. Sing.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Father, we bow. We bow our lives before you this morning. What an honor and a privilege to be able to sing. We exalt you. We worship you today. There's none other that we desire but you. Father, as we stand together in your presence today, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother, that you're beside us in every circumstance of life, no matter what we're experiencing, the good or the bad or the neutral times, God, you are right there with us. God, your hand is extended to hold ours and to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. Father, I pray today for this congregation, that you would bless us as we launch this new year. God, that you would just lead us and guide us, and that this would be the greatest year of our lives. God, no matter what today may be looking like, what we may be facing in our lives this morning, we know that, God, you've got this. You are in control of this universe and this world and this nation, and you're in control of Nettles Island and our homes and our lives and our families. God, nothing is impossible with you. And so, Lord, we lift up our faith today, for, Lord, faith is what brings glory to you. It pleases you. It honors you. And you operate through the faith of your people. And so today we praise you, Lord. Father, we think about those that are on our prayer list today. We pray for Carol Wilson today. We pray today for Chris Tazetta. Lord, we pray for those of us that will be going to Peru. We pray over this week of prayer, Lord. Lord, we pray for the family of Mark Lazio, who passed away this week. God, every name, every person, every situation, you know it deeply and dearly. Lord, you are intricately involved in every one of these circumstances. And so, Father, we pray today that you would intervene and you would undertake and that you would move as only you can move. And we give you the praise and the glory for that. God, those that have gathered today with burdens in their hearts and their lives, they've come into this house. God, we've chosen to lay the burdens down and to look up. For from heaven, from the hills of heaven comes our help. And God, today you are our hope and you are our strength and you are our guide and you are our help. God, nothing is beyond your scope and your reach today. So Lord, let us trust you. Let us put our confidence in you. Let us believe, God, that as we pray, as we ask, as we seek, and as we knock, that the door will be opened unto us and the answer will come. God, you will be exalted and glorified and lifted up. And the Lord, in all of these things, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.
Amen. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. I want to say a quick thing before we sing. I was gone this week, and there's only a couple people you can do this to, but we just sang this for the first time this morning. But with some talented people, you can get by with that. And I'm thankful for you guys doing that. But we're just here to worship the Lord this morning. And sometimes we have a lot of times to rehearse, and sometimes we don't. But we just want to glorify God in all we do. Listen as Anthony sings Farther Along this morning.
Well, good morning, church. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. I've listened to the pastor a few times in the last few weeks talk about just getting there and getting to heaven and becoming a Christian. And there's so many things going on in this crazy world right now that we just don't understand, right? And let's not bring up politics or wars or who, you know, all that stuff. We still understand it, but the Bible says one day we will. And that's what this song's all about, is just further along, we're going to understand it all by and by. Well, tempted and tried, we're off me to wonder why it should be us all the day long while there are seemed ever molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we know all about it. Farther. Understand why. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand you all by and by. And when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we will breathe in that bright mansion. Think of it. Yes, and we'll understand it all by and by. Farther along,
Father, I long to understand why and cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it, oh my and my. So cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine, we'll understand it, oh by and by.
Thank you. Amen. The Finney Nix Trio. Amen. Thank you, folks. What a great job. You guys just put that together this morning, huh?
Yeah, we had the wrong song on the screen.
Yeah, I saw that. You guys switched that up on me. Amen. Amen. I want us to go back to prayer, and we're going to pray for the message, but I want to pray this morning. I had omitted something that was given me this morning, and it was on the wrong sheet, and I didn't see it, but I want you and I to agree today for Jim Habor. He's having open heart surgery this Tuesday. And he's with us. He's one of our winter members, he and his wife. And we want to pray for him today, that God will just be with him and cover him and just guide that surgeon right on through, and that everything's going to be working out just right and just well. And I didn't see that. It was on a different sheet of paper. But let's go back to prayer, and we'll just commit Jim to the Lord, and we'll pray for the message today. Father, thank you again. Lord, you tell us to pray without ceasing. We could learn to pray all day long just in our thoughts as we move about life. And God, we're thankful that you never get tired of us coming back before your throne, and we can just come, and even in a moment like this, and we lift up Jim to you right now. Father, we know that, Lord, this is not some small thing, that this is big in his life and in his family's world. And I pray today that you will just be there to guide and direct. God, that your healing hand will rest upon that surgeon, that every move that surgeon makes will be directed by your plan and your purpose, that you, the great physician, will be upon that scaffold and in that operating room. Be with the family today. Give them peace and give them comfort. And God, just bring Jim through this thing in a mighty way for the glory of God. Father, we pray this morning for the word as we proclaim it, as we share it. Open our hearts and our minds and our wills that we might receive it, and that it might do what it does, and that's shed light onto us and transform us and make us more like Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, let's go to the book of Exodus. We're going to be looking in Exodus today at chapter 33, and the message is living in God's presence, living in God's presence. And that little song, even though you guys switched that up and it was changed from what we talked about earlier, it really fits more even with this message today. You know, there are a lot of things about life we don't understand. We're going to talk a little bit about how to be led of the Lord today, even when we don't understand what's going on. So, living in God's presence, Exodus 33, verses 14 through 16. And reading this morning, the Bible says, "And God said to Moses, God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? It is not in your going with us, is it not in your going with us that so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people of the face of the earth?" Moses said, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. If your presence doesn't go with me, then don't bring us up from here." This morning I want to share a message that will challenge us to live our lives wrapped up this year in the presence
of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. Thus the title, Living in God's Presence. Presence is key to experiencing the victory that we need in our lives as we walk through this brand new year. We all want to have success. We all want to be victorious. We want to live for God. We want to live to please Him. We want to overcome all the challenges. And presence is very, very, very important to that. And I believe that all of us today, we need that guidance. We want to be guided by the Lord. We want to know His plans and purposes. We want to have His direction. We want to have His leading our steps as we begin our journey throughout 2025. And we want to know and understand what God's will is for us as we go forward. And in those times when life becomes chaotic or out of control, or maybe there's a serious decision that we have to make that can affect us, whether it's positively or negatively, depending on what road we choose, maybe good or bad, if it's the wrong decision, bad, it's not out of the norm for us to ask God to give us a sign. God, would you show me? God, would you reveal to me? Would you give me a sign, God? I was looking at something and I saw a Reader's Digest. Everybody remember the Reader's Digest books, right? And I came across a story from out of that by a person named Chris Rose, a real estate agent. And Chris said this. He said, I spent 6 months showing homes to one couple. At last, I found two that they liked, but they couldn't decide which to buy. The wife and I returned to the second house, and she began wandering about for another look while I waited upstairs. Eventually, she told me that they would take the first home. I asked her how she made her decision. I was standing in the family room, the woman explained, and I asked God to give me a sign. Right then and there, a plane came zooming over on its flight path to the airport, and I knew that that house wasn't for us. You guys remember when Donald Trump bought Mar-a-Lago and he tried to get the airport to change its runways and its patterns? They fly right over his house, and he just has to live with that. But the woman asked for a sign, and God, she felt, gave her a sign. We're sign people. As Christians, we want to know the will of God. We want to know the Word of God. We want to know to be in step with God. It's what we do. We ask God for signs. Now, sometimes asking God to show us a sign works out really well, but not always. We need to be careful when seeking a sign from God. I heard this story. You may have heard it before. An old farmer had harbored a secret desire for years to be a preacher. One day, taking a break from his plowing while he sat under a shade tree, he looked up at the sky and there were some clouds in the sky, and he saw this cloud formation begin to come together, and he saw what looked like in the clouds a P and a C. Oh, it's a sign from the Lord, he concluded, telling him to preach Christ, to preach Christ. And so he left his crops. He soon sold his farm and he started this small church in the community. The only problem was he was horrible at it. His preaching skills were not as refined as his farming skills. And he saw little response in his ministry. One day after hearing one of the farmer's sermons, a friend who had known about the cloud story came alongside of him. And he said, are you sure that God wasn't telling you to plant corn? We have to be careful. Signs can work, but sometimes they don't. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we faced a decision, a big decision, something we had to make in our lives and didn't know what to do, that we would have a heavenly teleprompter sending us messages from God out of the sky? Or, you know, where should I go to school? Who should I marry? Which job should I take? Should I change jobs? Should I sell my house? Should I move? What should I live on nettles full time? Should I keep coming back and forth? All these decisions that we make. And in each decision, we want God to show us. We want to know, so we ask God for a sign. But what if there was something so much better than seeking signs? What if we realize that to be immersed in the presence of God in our daily lives would provide for us all that we need, and instead of a sign from heaven, God himself becomes our guide who leads us step by step. We may not always know what that step is taking us into, but we're confident because it's God who is leading us into that next step. That's the situation that Moses is dealing with here in our scripture this morning. You see, Moses was desperate to know what God wanted him to do. He didn't know what to do. Here they were in the desert, in the wilderness. They're at the base of the mountain. And Moses doesn't know. Now, he's a man of God. He's walked with God. He talks with God. He's fellowshiped with God. But he doesn't have an answer. And the Israelites are in a real mess. Let me give you a little bit of the backstory. Let me just kind of paraphrase it this morning. Just a couple of months into their journey, they've left Egypt. They've departed Egypt. They're on their way. They're finally freed from 400 years of slavery, and they're journeying through this wilderness to make it to the land that God has promised them, the promised land. 6 million former slaves have been freed from Egypt and the heavy-handed, cruel Pharaoh of Egypt. And here they are camped at Mount Sinai. Moses is been up on the mountain for 40 days. He said to the Israelites, I've got God's calling me up. He's going to talk to me. He's going to give me some fresh insights. And Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai as these 6 million Jewish folks in the nation are based around this mountain. And he's up there for 40 days, and the Jewish people begin to think that something's happened to Moses. He's either abandoned us and went down the other side of the mountain, or he died up there. Something got him. Lightning struck him. An animal got him. Something. And Moses isn't coming back. But Moses is up there communing with God, and that's where he's getting the Ten Commandments. That's where he's getting the 600 other commandments that the Jews have to keep, and all the rules and the regulations and all the plans for the temple that's going to be built, the tabernacle that'll be built, and what the priests are to wear, and how the Levites, he's getting all of that from God. And these tribes, they wonder, we're abandoned. And so they create their own God. They create a golden calf. We know the story. If you've read through Exodus, you know that. And they begin to worship this calf. And it's more than just worship. They begin to practice the same kinds of exercises, the same kinds of sinful, wicked behavior that they came out of Egypt, as Egypt had many gods and many things, and there's sexual perversion that's going on, and God is getting very angry at what he's seeing. And so he says to Moses, it's time, you better get back down there. So Moses comes down and he sees what's going on, and he takes those Ten Commandments and he slams them to the ground and they break. God was so angry with the people and their rejecting him as the one true God and worshiping an idol, a false god. They broke the first, second, and seventh commandments easily that day. They put another god in front of him. They made an idol out of that god, and they were committing adultery one with the other. So God has the Levites. He says, Moses, you tell the people that are with God, step over here. And the Levites did, and then he sent them out, and they killed 3,000 of the men. And then God comes in with something else, and others are killed, and there's great devastation that goes on. Listen, sin's nothing ever for us to play with. We're not perfect. We won't be perfect until we are raptured and we're in heaven with God. We get our new and glorified bodies, but that doesn't mean that we run towards sin. We run from sin as believers. These people didn't understand that. Moses doesn't know what to do. He's standing before God and he's saying, God, what am I going to do now? How do I lead these people out of this mess? How do we turn your anger away from these people? How do we get things on the right track again? And in Exodus 33, verse 12, he says, you've been telling me, lead these people. So he has his assignment, but you have not let me know. He doesn't know. He needs direction. He needs wisdom. He needs to know what to do. He needs a sign. You've not let me know what to do and whom you'll send with me. I don't know what to do. You see, a couple of verses earlier in verse 2, God told Moses that he was no longer personally going to be the guide. God had been guiding them right out of Egypt. You know the story. At night there was a pillar of fire. In the daytime it was a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and it would go in front of all of the nation of Israel, these 6 million Jewish people, and God was walking them through the wilderness. And in verse 2, he says, that's it. The calf, the sin, I'm done. And he says, I'm not leading you anymore, because if I'm down here leading you, I may wreak havoc on you. I may bring judgment on you after judgment on you. So you know what, Moses? I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to send an emissary. You'll still have somebody, but it's not going to be me. So you go back to what I just said. I don't know what to do. I don't know. You've been telling me lead them. I don't know how to do that. And I don't know who this angel is. I don't know who you're sending me. How am I supposed to lead these people without you, without your presence directing our steps? God, I don't want an angel. I want you. In verse 15, if your presence, he says, Moses says, God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Interestingly, God never wrote a message to Moses in the sky. He never laid a blueprint down. In today's terms, he didn't send a fax, an email, or a Facebook post. He didn't do any of those things. God did something better than provide a sign. God relents in Moses' cry in prayer, and he says in the verse ahead, okay, I'm going to go with you. I've changed my mind. I'll go with you. The angel thing, if you really want me, I'm going to go with you. God sends his presence. He returns his presence to them. And he says in verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Living daily in an active relationship with God, surrounded by his presence, provides lots of benefits. Lots of benefits to live in the presence of God. Let me share just two of them quickly with you this morning. The first one, God's presence provides supernatural power in every dimension of life. If you want more of God in your life, if you want more of God's power in your life, if you want your prayers to move heaven and earth, then you need the presence of God in your life. I need the presence of God in my life. It's not something we can just pick up on and hang on to on a Sunday morning for 1 hour in church. It's something that becomes a part of our experience every minute of every day. We may not be always talking to God in prayer and always have our face in the Bible, but we're just a second away from it. His presence is always there and always with us. The Bible says in Psalm 91 verse 1, he who dwells, that speaks of presence, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The all-powerful one, the Almighty is all-powerful one. That's a promise. He who dwells, that's talking about presence, shall abide, shall spend his life, spend his or her life or time. We have a promise there. That's something you can hook into today. You can anchor that to your spirit and to your soul today and say, God, I'm going to dwell in your presence. I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High in my life in 2025, and I'm going to abide under the shadow. Listen, if you're near somebody, we're outside and the sun is shining and I'm standing in your shadow, then your presence is right beside me. But if I move away from you, I'll move out of your shadow. And so what the psalmist is saying here is presence, being in the presence of God, and there's power, will be in the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing God can't do. Nothing God can't accomplish. There's nothing too hard for God. Listen, God's power is available to each and every one of us to meet every one of our needs, but it comes with being in his presence. There's a little chorus that is sung. I used to sing it all the time. We sing it here. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. In the presence, here, listen, troubles vanish and hearts are mended in the presence of the King. The writer of that little chorus understood what I'm talking about today, maybe better than I do. And he wrote this song, in the presence of God, there is victory. Troubles are going to vanish and hearts are going to be mended as we spend time in the presence of the King. Oh, how wonderful that is. Moses understood the connection between presence and power. God's presence and power was revealed to Moses early on while in the wilderness when he encountered the burning bush. You remember this story? Moses is raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. So he's raised as an Egyptian, but one day he sees an Egyptian that's striking down an Israelite, and he goes after him, and they get into a fight, and he ends up killing the Egyptian. So he runs. He's 40 years old, and he leaves Egypt, and he goes out into the desert of Midian, and there he is tending sheep. He finds a wife, and while he's out there one day, God hasn't given up on him, and as he's walking along, he sees this bush that's on fire. It's burning, but it won't burn up. And so it intrigues him, and he goes over to the bush, and as he's standing and he's looking at the bush, God begins to speak to him through that bush. God, Moses understood presence of God. That was his encounter with the presence of God. God tells him to go back to Egypt and lead out Egypt. And so he goes back, and Moses now sees more power. The 10 signs, the Nile turns to blood, the gnats, the flies, the dead livestock, the boils, the hail and fire, the locusts, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt's sons. Moses is standing there learning the power of God. And these 10 plagues were not just a display of God's power, but God was showing Moses his supremacy over all the false gods that anybody could ever manufacture. There is no God but one, and he's almighty. And what I love about the Bible, it says if God, the God we're talking about, the true God, if God is for us, who can stand against us? Amen? Amen. We've got to just rise up in our faith and believe that God's got this. And so the connection between God's presence and power was understood by Moses there. And then again, as they start out into the wilderness, God's presence, the cloud, the fire at night, and God is leading them through his presence. In Exodus 13 is where that starts. In Exodus 14, they get to the sea. Here comes the Egyptian army, and the people are starting to panic, and they think, wow, we're going to all be slaughtered out here. And all of a sudden, the presence of God with them parts the sea. And then in Exodus 16, the manna from heaven, they're hungry, they don't have food to eat, and God starts sending them manna that stayed with them every day in the wilderness for 40 years until they moved into the promised land, and when they moved into the land of milk and honey, the provision stopped. The power of God. Exodus 17, Moses is with them. They're crying out, we're thirsty, we don't have any water. They were the biggest complaining group of people. I don't know how anybody could pastor that group. We don't have food. Okay, here's manna. We don't have water. Okay, so Moses strike the rock. And 6 million people are nourished with water. They're hydrated by the rock. Moses saw the power of God when God was moving with him. That's why he said what we said earlier, if you don't go with us, I'm not moving. I'd rather die right here and be done with it than try to go out here and figure this out and be asking for signs all the rest of our days. From these examples in Egypt and out in the desert, we see God working miraculously and powerfully, providing the needs and for the concerns of his people. And he's no different today. He cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about me. And he wants to meet our needs. But listen, no presence of God, there's no power, no victory. Regardless of our condition or circumstances, it doesn't change God. In our situations, God with us, that changes our circumstances. There's a story of a missionary, a true story. It was a missionary named Gladys Alward. She lived from 1902 to 1970. Gladys was a British-born evangelical Christian missionary to China, whose story was told in a book. A book was written in 1957, The Small Woman, The Heroic Story of Gladys Alward. Well, here's what's one of the situations in her life. In 1949, while she was doing missionary work in China, the Communist Revolution began to take over. And the army was actively seeking to arrest and imprison Christian missionaries. And one morning, as Gladys was attempting to make her way out of war-torn Yangchen, she was faced with no apparent hope of reaching safety. The armies had closed in, and she saw no way out. And she was starting to get really restless and upset. And a 13-year-old girl that was traveling with her tried to comfort her by saying, "Don't forget what you told us about Moses in the wilderness," referring to God's promise of his presence. And Gladys replied, "Yes, my dear, but I'm not Moses." And the young girl replied, and I want you to get this, "Yes, but God is still God." Hallelujah. God is still God. He is still with us today, all these years later, in every struggle, in every trial, in every difficult situation of life. Let's remember that God is still God. He's the Almighty, the all-powerful one who longs to provide for our every need. Living in his presence is key to the victory of overcoming all of life's challenges. I'm running out of time here on this two-service schedule. The second point, and I'm going to close with it this morning. God's presence provides perfect peace in every situation. We're people that want peace. The world's trying to find peace. They're trying to find peace. In fact, the Bible says that they're going to be crying for peace so much all the way through the rest of our lives and maybe beyond. I don't know the time scale of God, but the Antichrist is going to come and bring peace. Because the world wants peace. We need peace. We need peace in our hearts. We need peace in our families. We need peace in our surroundings. We need peace. And the real, true peace, perfect peace, only comes from God. And it will only come as we spend time in his presence. God made this promise to Moses in verse 14. He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." You see the word rest up there? I did a little word study on that because I knew that it said more than that. There was just something stirring in me in this message. And the Hebrew word is nuach, and it means to rest, to settle, or to repose. And when I looked up the word repose, you know what it said? It translates to the word peace. So that word, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest," there's nothing wrong with being able to put in your Bible, write in your notes, that also means peace. The rest that's spoken here is peace that makes its home in our hearts while we're on our journey through life. It's the calm, it's the tranquility, it is the rest that we feel even though everything is in turmoil around us, the storms are raging, our spirits, our hearts, our minds, our lives are at rest no matter what comes along because we're walking with God and we're in his presence. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." That means that if you engage your mind and you fix your thoughts on the Lord, you're going to know God's peace, God's perfect peace. It's going to happen and work in your life. God's peace gives us the physical, emotional, and endurance to make correct judgments and right decisions. You don't ever want to make a decision when you're upset. You've heard that. You don't ever want to do that. Warren Cornell wrote a beautiful song called, a hymn called "Wonderful Peace." And in verse 3, he said, "I'm resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and his glory is flooding," his presence, his glory is flooding my soul. I'm resting in wonderful peace because his presence is flooding my soul. Church, as we close today, let's make 2025 our best year. Let's make a commitment this morning to draw closer to God and make his presence in our lives so much more. More than we had last year, more than we had last month, more than we had yesterday, last night. And if we're going to be effective for God to engage, we need to engage his presence. If we're going to be effective this year, if we're going to make a difference in our families' lives this year, we need to walk in the presence of God. And with presence will come a fresh touch of God's power and God's peace. Would you stand with me for closing prayer? Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for giving us all that you give us. Thank you for your word today. God, we are champions and victors in this room standing before you. Why? Not because of who we are, not because of what we know, not because of our intellect or because of our determination, but because of who you are, because we belong to you. And so, Father, I pray today that as we close out this service, God, we would close it out in the presence of Jehovah. God, that we would close it out today walking in your power and in your goodness and in your glory. And God, that we would make a decision right here standing before you that we would make an altar where we stand and say, God, I am determined to live in the presence of the Lord every day, every minute. I may not be praying every minute, but I'm going to be just a heartbeat away, a thought away. And I'm going to be thinking about you throughout the day and thanking you that you're right there with me, that your spirit lives in me, but that as you are with me, you are leading me and guiding me. And though I may not know what to do, when you open a door, I'll just step through it. When you light my path, I'll just take the next step. Because God, if your presence goes before me, you're going to lead me right into the promised land, right into the place where you want me to be, and it'll be a perfect place. Father, bless your people today. Give us the best new year. Give us the greatest time together. Lord, serving you and loving you and worshiping you. May this be a year of great success and great power and great peace in every heart and in every life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God be with you. Go with God today. Don't forget about the sign-ups. We've got to get you signed up for our Bible studies and some other things. Have a great week. You're dismissed.